through the mist.
God bless you. Amen. I love you. Love you. Thank you so much, my brother. As soon as I open my mouth tonight, you recognize that it's going to be necessary for you to listen up real well tonight. You be praying very hard that God will give me the enabling that I need to be able to communicate the message. I better be choosing my words wisely tonight, saying as few of them as possible, and asking God to intervene. So turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. While you're turning there, I'd like to say thank you to each of the churches that are represented and that keep this meeting going. I'm aware of the fact that a meeting of this magnitude would break the back of the average church. So it takes a combined effort. A lot of churches supporting, laboring, praying. And I thank you for doing so and for being a part of continuing what I believe is a good ministry for the cause of Christ. I'm sure that through the years, many have been saved as a result of this ministry, and many have given their lives completely and wholly unto the Lord's service. So whatever you've done in the past, continue to do it by the grace of God. And I'm sure the Lord will enable you to do so. The one thing I would like to ask of each of the churches and each of you as individuals is that you would please, in your private time, remember myself and my family and the ministry that we lay our hand to in your prayers. And I would certainly be grateful for you to do so. It's important for us to not only start out, but to finish well. We need each other's help in that matter. The devil desires to destroy each of us. And so let's pray one for another. We co-labor together as we pray one for another. Now tonight in Job chapter number 5, I want to read verse number 7 while you're standing. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Before I preach tonight, I want to be busy saving you a little money. Let you know that it'll not be necessary for you to carry your dollars, your hard-earned money, down to the psychic reader. Tonight I'm going to tell you your future. It's full of trouble. You'll have many tears you'll shed. There'll be a lot of sickness in the days that lay ahead for you. And some of you young people in this room tonight, you believe you're invincible, but life will show you different. Your health will break. Your heart will be broken. Some of you, your children will rip the very life out of you. You will cry 1,000 tears. Some of you, relationships will go bad and you'll wish you'd never been born. That's your future. I'm glad tonight that you don't have to do it by yourself. I have lived long enough to know that life is so cruel and so hard that it will destroy and whip the best of us. If you are in this building tonight and you're endeavoring to go through this life without Jesus, I pity you. You will suffer greatly in this world, and then you'll suffer in the world to come. It's not necessary. There's a God in heaven who loves you. Your sufferings that I'll preach about tonight are not because of God. No need for you to blame Him for this. Your sufferings tonight can be traced to sin. If you're going to be angry tonight, be angry at sin. I say to you, make sure that you have Jesus in your heart. The difficulties of this life will rain on the just and the unjust. But the difference between you and me is that I'll go arm in arm with Jesus. And when necessary, He'll pick me up and carry me. And I will go in. And I will be done with all of this life of struggles and sorrows, heartaches and problems. I beg you to come to Jesus tonight if you're not saved. If you are here and you're saved tonight, I beg you to recognize that God's given us this text to help us to understand something about what you're going to go through in your life. Let's bow for prayer. Now, dear Lord, tonight superintend all that's said. Use us for Your honor and Your glory. I beg for divine touch tonight. Help my frail body. Give us, Lord, that which is needed to supernaturally rise above and to catch a glimpse of all that You have for us. Touch that Christian tonight that's going through the deepest valley they've ever been exposed to. May tonight be a relief to their soul. Help us tonight to look unto Jesus, the author, and thanks be to God, the finisher, the finisher, the finisher of our faith. I'm glad, dear God, I don't have to do this by myself. I'm glad You never leave us nor forsake us. Help us tonight to trust You. In Jesus' name I beg it. Amen. As verse number 7 is clearly revealed to us tonight, and as is true with the entire book of Job, the context is upon troubles. When we begin in verse number 1 of chapter 5, he says, in the midst of these troubles, you will recognize quickly that there are some that are so difficult, so large, some valleys that are so deep and so long, that you can call now, as he says in verse 1, and see if there be any that will answer thee. Go to the modern bookstores. Address all of the intellectuals. See who has an answer for all of the problems of man. See if you can find one that can heal your broken heart. He says, and even turn to those which are the saints. If you turn to them, you'll find they have no more answers than you do. There will be some portions of your life when your heart will be so empty of help, when you will be filleted internally, when life will take advantage of you, when the hounds of hell will so pressure you, when the oppressions will be so great that even the saints can't help. Oh, they wish they could. Your preacher will be absent of an answer. The deacons will not be able to rescue you. The best Christian in the church will not be able to bring you out of that difficulty, call as you might, but they're only human beings and they cannot help. And then he says in verse number 2, and would you please remember with me tonight that we're hearing from a man who knows something about sufferings. And Job says, I've looked around and I have seen that people basically attempt to handle troubles in one of two ways. He says, I've seen some of them get angry in their troubles, for wrath killeth the foolish man. And then he said, secondly, I have seen some people who get in their troubles and they become eat up with envy, and envy slayeth the silly one. In other words, some people, when life backs up on them, when they have great difficulties, they will end up getting angry about that difficulty. And they are foolish, Job said, to do so. I'll remind each of us tonight that if I get angry about my world flying apart, I will maybe get first angry with whoever I think caused me the trouble. But then I must get angry at my preacher for not getting there quick enough to help me. And then I'll have to get angry at the deacons, and then angry at the Sunday school teachers, and then angry at my brothers and my sisters because they didn't ring my phone enough. I'll have to find somewhere to place that anger. And eventually I run out of human beings and there's nobody left to be angry with but God Almighty. Because if you believe the Word of God tonight, and we do, you know that God is a sovereign God. And nothing will ever encroach my world but what it didn't come over the desk of Almighty God. And so ultimately, if I'm going to take the avenue of getting angry, Job says it's foolish. It's foolish to do so, because somewhere you'll have to be angry with God. He allowed it. And you're running down a dead end road. If you get angry and you're hurt, fight against the temptation. Don't allow yourself to be one who gets angry when your life is torn apart. Beg God for the grace to stay sweet in your sufferings. Then he says there are those who envy. He reminds us that these are silly. The reason he calls them silly is because people who end up with their lives in turmoil will often look at a neighbor, or they'll look at somebody else in the church, and they'll say, he never goes through what I do. They never go through what I do. They'll ride down the road and they'll see that mansion setting up on the hill, and they'll say, they don't have the problems I have. Sure wish I was like him or like her. But what they don't realize is that troubles are common to everybody who wears flesh. If you breathe air, you're going to have troubles. And Job says it's silly. It's silly to envy anybody else. As the old Indian adage goes, you don't want to walk in their moccasins. You have no idea. You have no idea what they're going through. Be careful about envying others. However, he goes on in verse number 3 to deal more with these who become angry in the midst of trouble. He says, I have seen the foolish. Now this relates back to verse number 2 where he says, the wrath killeth the foolish man. That angry person, now he's addressing them and he says, I've watched them. I've watched them get in trouble, and I've watched them get mad about it. I've watched them get mad at everybody around them, and then I watched them get mad at God. And I've seen the foolish taking root. He said there's something about this thing of getting angry that will cause bitterness to start taking root in your heart. But suddenly I cursed his habitation. He said, when I looked at him, I noticed that that anger, that bitterness that got in his life because of him being the kind of individual that was getting angry about his hurts, I saw that thing so overtake him that before I knew it, it had cursed his habitation. It had touched everything in his world. It touched the man's wife. It touched his children. His anger began to bleed on everybody else. He ended up with his children being bitter at God because he was bitter at God. Hello? She ended up with her babies being angry toward God when their world fell apart because it bled on them. He said, the reason I call them foolish people is because if you allow anger to seethe inside of you, it'll destroy those you love the most. It will end up costing you your family members. And he said, I saw their habitation cursed because of it. How many sons and daughters will not listen to a preacher because somewhere a man or a woman got hurt? They felt like they were done wrong. And in being done wrong, they got angry about that thing. And their anger caused them to act foolishly. They were angry because maybe somebody didn't get to them quick enough. Or somebody didn't address it. Or somebody didn't come down and take care of them. And they thought they could just let that anger stay inside of them. Job said, anger won't stay inside of you. It curses your habitation. It bleeds on our children. And then when that child gets 16, 17 years old and trouble's plaguing them and sin's plaguing them and they need to be able to listen to somebody and trust somebody and they need a preacher, they've been trained to be angry with him. That's the reason Job said this is a foolish person. It's a foolish thing to be angry when you're hurting. But it's the absolute most natural thing. So what he is saying to me here is that I'm going to have to put up a fight. I'm going to have to put up a fight if I don't get angry in my hurting. If in my trouble I don't turn bitter, it's going to be a fight. I'm going to have to beg God for grace and I'm going to have to beg God keep me sweet. Help me not to get out of joint with God, nor with any of God's people. And so he goes on and says in verse number 4, the sad story. This angry man's children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them, whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Mama, Daddy, I'm preaching for your future tonight. I'm here tonight preaching not because I'm better than you, but God Almighty in His kindness just touched me many years ago to do what I'm doing. I'm preaching tonight not because I'm sitting in judgment over you, but because I love you. I say that without any hesitation and without any reservation and believing it from the depths of my heart that I can tell you that honestly tonight, that I love you and I care about you. I beg you tonight, don't destroy your babies. Don't destroy your home, your children, those little grandbabies that come along. Everywhere I turn in this world, I'm going to get hurt. It is, seems like it's an endless cycle of hurting. Trouble on every side. I can become cynical. I can become angry. But if I do, it's not without consequence. It's going to cost me. My children can't afford it. My grandbabies can't afford it. Oh, how I need to somehow beg God to help me in this matter to realize, as Job said, that these troubles did not just spring out of the dust. They're here with purpose. God has designed or allowed every one of them. And it does me no good to get angry with God. Notice he says, your problem didn't just spring up. Mom, dad, grandmother, granddad, son, daughter, listen close. Whatever your heart's broken over tonight, whatever your trouble is, whatever that difficulty is in your world right now, it's not an accident. There are no accidents. It didn't just spring up out of the dust. Job saying to believe that would be like saying that you could take a good grain of corn out there, a seed, and place it in the dry dust and expect to get a good crop. He said it didn't just spring up. Yeah, it didn't just poof up out of nothing. It's in your world for a purpose. Now, this is harder for me to live than it is for me to preach. Every one of us can know this truth and still struggle in the midst of it. But nothing, nothing has ever touched my world nor your world that God Almighty hasn't allowed it in my world. And if He has, He has also promised me something, that everything in my world is for His glory and my good. Now when I'm hurting, when I'm sick, when my heart's out of me, and I don't know which way to go, when I've been falsely accused, and when I'm bleeding inside, and when the very ones that are closest to you have hurt you so bad that you wish you could die, in the midst of all of these things, there's purpose, there's purpose, there's purpose for that being in your world. Now, I don't know what it is, but God does. And it could be that there's a ministry being worked that none of us enjoy being a part of. That great ministry of suffering. I wonder if my grandbabies will remember me more for my preaching when I'm robust and feeling good and seems like my preaching's on top of the world. Or if they'll remember me best when I'm crushed in my old age and my body has failed me. And if I'm still raising a little feeble hand from that deathbed and praising God. I tell you, the ministry of suffering is a ministry that's the closest to the heart of Christ. And delivers and yields up some of the sweetest fruit. Sometimes people are touched in this world and some of your loved ones can be brought to Jesus through your hurts, through your pains, and watching you respond as a Christian in those quicker than they ever would if you were on Easy Street. So why am I left here anyway? Am I left here to feel good, says Job? Or am I left here to be a vessel, to be used for the work of God? And so Job says, whatever he deems is right for your life, don't get angry about it. And then he goes on to say in our text in verse number 7, yet man is born unto troubles, unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. He said, I want to give you a little illustration. Because he said, what I'm preaching to you, what I'm giving to you, is deeper than you can grab a hold of and hold on to for very long. And it's more difficult for you to obtain. And so you're going to need a little illustration. He said, I want you to go out, watch your campfire, and learn something about troubles. Your troubles that will come to each and every man. He's using here man in the masculine gender. Literally, he's talking about mankind. So he does not exclude all of you good women in this building tonight. He's saying if you were born with Adam's blood, if you're born drawing air on this side of eternity, you can rest assured this is your future. Trouble, 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 trouble. And he said your troubles will be as the sparks fly upward out of a fire. Tonight, I want to remind you that the sparks fly upward in many numbers. I have sat and watched campfire after campfire in my life. I have yet to ever see one fire release only one ember. And here in the text, the Bible says, as the sparks, plural, as the sparks fly upward. And what Job is saying to each and every one of us is simply this, that your troubles will be numerous. You might as well go ahead and get in the trenches. Don't be one who's soft-skinned about all of this, because you are in for a long haul. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And you'll not just have one trouble and be done with it. You're going to have many, 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 many troubles. But the same God in heaven that got your grandmother and your grandfather through many, 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 many troubles is still on the throne. Secondly, as the sparks fly upward, those sparks fly upward not only in great numbers, but those sparks will come up out of there very indiscriminately. I love to camp. Me and my family enjoy camping. I'm not much of a fisherman. I do not hunt. I do not play golf. I have very little outside interest, but we love to camp. And so we'll go and set up and be as a family. We'll get campers side by side. One of the beautiful things to me about camping is that when I get out there and go into that campground, I've pulled in there with old pop-top pop-up campers that were ragged and rough, and I've pulled them right up beside $250,000 motor coaches. And I've had them come out of that motor coach and say, "Hello, how you doing?" Seems like it's a different sort of folk around a campground. But when you light up that fire in that campground and those embers begin to release in that fire, I've noticed that those embers that come up are very indiscriminate. They couldn't care less. They may go right over here and go into a little $25 to $50 tent and burn it up, but it won't bother them one bit to go over and in the window of a $250,000 coach either and scorch it real good. They couldn't care less. The truth about troubles is this: there are no people exempt. It makes no difference how much money you put in the bank. It makes no difference how secure you think your job is. It makes no difference if you're out and you're just a dirt farmer and seems like you're just squeaking by all the time. Troubles are on both sides of the fence and always will be. Those sparks go upward very, very indiscriminately. They don't care who they touch. They're an equal opportunity burn. And so are troubles. Troubles constantly coming into our life. And don't ever think that you can see somebody who's absent of troubles. As the sparks fly upward, not only do they come out of there indiscriminately, but they come out of there unannounced. Now, I don't know that everybody's this way, but I sat around a campfire when God was burning this message in my heart. No pun intended, but yes, intended. And I sat around the campfire and trying to get a hold of this message. And I thought to myself, I believe I'll catch me one of them. So I got me a glove out of the camper. And I'm thinking, I'm going to catch me the next one that rises out of there. But the problem I had was, it seems like they never announced to me when they were letting go. If there had just been one of them in there crying out and saying, I'm burnt just about enough to where I'm going to release from the solid substance and I'm going to get in the flow and I'm heading out of here. If it had just made the announcement, I could have been ready. But they never announce it. The sparks fly upward unannounced. You know, you could brace up, couldn't you? Mama, Daddy, you could brace up a little bit if we were always able to see the road signs. If we always could detect the red flags, as we call them, to see the trouble coming. But the truth is that many times we're blindsided. Because troubles do not announce themselves. They love to sneak up behind you. They love to come in unawares. And then all of a sudden explode in your life and in your family. In your world. And shake it up. And trouble's always that way. Trouble loves to creep in unawares. Job said, you'll watch for it, but you'll never be quick enough to catch them all because they come in unannounced. Oh, if I only had a little piece of change tonight for every poor man that's ever looked at me with his heart broken out of him who said, preacher, I never even saw that thing coming. I never saw it coming. I didn't know she was so unhappy. I don't know how I missed it, preacher. Never saw it coming. How many poor women have I seen? So it looks like their nervous system's about to let go. They're weeping, a bucket of tears, and they're saying, preacher, I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. I thought I knew him. I thought I knew him. I didn't have a clue. As the sparks fly upward, they fly upward unannounced. They fly upward in many numbers. They fly upward very indiscriminately. But I want to announce to you tonight, and I want to announce to the devil, they fly up dying. You hear me? The best that thing's ever going to be is right there in the fire. The hottest it's ever going to burn is right there before she lets go. But as the sparks fly upward, Job said, just as sure as your trouble comes, it's leaving. Thank God. It's dying. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take it. Sir, I wish I could tell you. I wish I could give you that help tonight. Ma'am, I don't know how long it's going to take it. I've watched some of them seem like they only get up about 10 feet and all of a sudden I can't see them. They're gone. But I've watched some of them break loose out of a big old fire. Seems like they go a long ways. They'll get up treetop high. I don't know how long it's going to take, but this too shall pass. Thank God. Your trouble is not here to stay. If you're born again tonight, I can promise you there's an end. There's a finish line. You're going over the knoll and somewhere God Almighty's coming around the corner and He'll extinguish that thing. He'll say, that's enough. Amen. That's enough. In the meantime, you're going to think, well, I can't take any more. But it won't be much longer. And if He's letting it still burn, you can take a little more. But He knows when it's enough. And the sweet Spirit of God will extinguish that thing. You wake up one morning, it won't be the same anymore. You say, preacher, it can't be, can't happen. Yeah, it will. As the sparks fly upward, as the sparks fly upward, and they're flying up, dying. This too shall pass, Christian friend. It'll pass. There's a better day coming. There's a brighter day. Thank God in heaven. As the sparks fly upward. But not only does that spark fly upward dying, remember while it's dying that that spark flies upward under divine control. Now you put this in your processes tonight. And I want to ask you, why is it that ever since the first human being struck that friction and lit that fire, ever since that moment, the sparks have been going upward? Now, the scientist would tell me, he would say, that's because, preacher, you poor little preacher, that's because that heat rises. And I would say, yes. I'm not that large a buffoon. I'm aware of the fact that heat rises. And he would say, preacher, are you not aware of the fact that in order to obtain combustion, if that fire is going to burn, there must be some oxygen? And so what's literally happening is that that oxygen is being required and that fire's gobbling it up. So it's bringing it in as fast as it can, and it creates this uplift, this updraft. And of course, as the embers burn enough to release from the solid substance, they become light enough to get caught up in that, and there they go, upward. I've explained it, said the scientist. I've explained it. Yes, you have, and God bless your heart. But that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, why does heat rise? That's what I want to know. I want to know why heat goes upward. And it's been going upward ever since the first time that a fire was lit. And I'm not asking you why that fire's burning, that it needs oxygen. I'm asking you, why does it need that oxygen? And I'm telling you, it does because God said so. And all of the laws, all of the scientific laws are going to require it as long as there's time, that if you have a fire, you're going to have that heat rising and that oxygen feeding it. And it'll never change. It's not going to change because God put it in motion that way. One of those rules of the universe. God put it in motion that way. And what Job's telling me, he said, I want you to know something. Your troubles are in the divine control of Almighty God. This thing hasn't escaped His knowledge. He's aware of what's going on down at your house. He knows exactly how bad your heart's broken. You're not dealing with a God that is not in the know about your hurting and about your pain. He is one who feels your infirmities. It's in divine control. And then the sparks fly upward toward God. He said, notice how the sparks fly upward. 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 The psalmist put it like this. Boy, he knew something about some troubles, didn't he? You know how bad it feels to fail God when you're a man that seeks after the heart of God. You know how bad it feels when you know at the end of the day that you absolutely blew it. Don't you know that David wanted to die? He said it was so bad that even the joints of his body reminded him every day, I believe, disease-ridden. That he had failed God over and over in his life. Sorrows and heartaches. Children turning on him. Family in disarray. He said, I want you to know something. That way out there beyond Hubble telescope, there's a God in heaven who has bottled up every one of my tears. The only reason he would bottle them up is to be able to say one day when he looks at you, I was aware. I was aware. That tear you shed over that boy, over that girl, over that grandbaby, I was aware. I was watching. I caught every one of them. Every one of them. And you know why? Because that spark's going upward. It's going upward. It's going to the very throne room of God. And you better off to let it go there. And quit trying to carry it down there to the doctor. And quit trying to carry it over there to somebody else. And quit trying to carry it over here to a neighbor and bury them up with it. You better off let that thing just go on upward. Let that thing get up there around God Almighty. It's going up. He said, I'm aware. I'm aware. And one of the biggest lies the devil's ever told every one of us, when your heart's broken just right, is that God doesn't even care about you. And so Job said, I want to stand and tell you the truth now tonight. That it's really just the opposite. That God does care about you. God cares every time your heart breaks. Every time you're sad. Every tear you've ever shed. He cares about it. Because he designed that thing in such a fashion where that trouble is not laying here around on this whole earth. But it's moving quickly toward God. It's like God has summoned every trouble. Did you see that in the text? It's like God has said all the way over here in heaven, all of you troubles on earth, now you listen to me. You're tormentors, and I know you are. But when you through tormenting that dear little old saint of God right there, you report right on up here. You get up here. And here they come. I mean, if you could see them somehow, all those troubles are heading up there, and they have to stand in front of God Almighty. They have to say, I'm here. And in a little bit, God's going to reach out and say, that's it. It's over. And extinguish it. Extinguish it. I'm telling you, God loves you tonight. Your troubles, your heartaches, your sorrows, they are not because God doesn't love you. They're because we live in a sin-cursed world. Sin-cursed people. My God pities me. And he has compassion on me. If it were not for his mercies, I would have already been overcome today. And every day. My troubles have been sufficient to destroy me. But he's shown me mercy. And he'll show me mercy tomorrow. Because my troubles are forever going up before God. God doesn't sleep. He's always looking over my troubles. They're forever moving in his direction. And Job said now, instead of doing like up there in verse number 1, calling on somebody to help you down here, he said, being that the troubles are as the sparks fly upward, verse number 8, he said, let's do this. I would seek unto God. And unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. He said, dear Christian friend, I know something about troubles. And I've tried to give you the best illustration I know, he said. Man, he said, let me tell you what let's do. Let's stay in the altars with them. God may not change your trouble tonight, but I tell you what He can do. He can keep your heart sweet in the middle of it. He said, let's keep carrying it to God. Just keep going back to God. Just keep going back to God. And God will either change your circumstances or He'll change you to have the grace you need to handle them. Keep you sweet where you don't dishonor God in your troubles. Wouldn't it be horrible after you've told so many people you're a Christian? Wouldn't it be horrible if now, because of some trouble and some broken heart situation, that you dishonored God now? You'd regret that even more. No, keep running to the altar. Keep running to the altar. Keep going to God. Go to God. Go to God. He can do unsearchable things. Magnificent things. He can step outside of the natural. He can operate in the supernatural. He can deal with that thing that no man can touch. Whatever your problem is, it's not bigger than God. So keep calling on Him. Keep going back to Him. I've been pastoring the same place for a little over 25 years. One of the finest men I ever pastored was one of my deacons. He came to me, an older man now. He said, God's called me to preach. And then immediately after that, he said, God's called me to mission field. He worked for the second largest bank in America. Had a good position, making good money. Owned 65 acres of land. And a nice house. He sold it all. Liquidated it. And went to the mission field. I can remember right after he gave everything to God. Gave everything to God. His heart was broken over his boy. His oldest boy had followed in his footsteps and was a young preacher. And failed to sin. And instead of getting that thing corrected, he kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper. I've been through the jail bars. And I've said, Jason, I love you, son. Please come back to God. And his boys stay hard. This brother would come to me and he'd say, preacher, I feel like I'm just death warmed over. He said, that's my boy. He's my boy. He said, I think I've died 1,000 deaths. I didn't know what to say to him. We had talked. Some of them just so deep, you can't have the right words. And all I knew to say was to him again, let's go pray. Let's go pray, and we'd go find us a place somewhere. We'd get him out of the little office. At that time, we were in the old building. The little office wasn't much more than a closet. I've laid in there on the floor. I begged God to help him and help his boy. One Sunday morning, I came to the house of God. And I saw poor Brother Don come around the corner down the long hall in the old building in the basement area. As soon as he saw me, I saw his countenance break. He's a big man. He began to shake, and he was weeping, tears running down his face. I thought, oh, no. I don't know what else to say to him, but we'll go in here and we'll pray again. That's all I know to do. I hastened my step a little bit. I got down there closer to him. I said, Brother Don, I'm so sorry. I said, had anything changed? He said, no, nothing's changed with him. I said, Brother, I don't know exactly what to say. I don't know what to tell you. I said, you want to split back into the office and pray a little bit before Sunday school? He's just shaking. He said, oh, no, preacher, not this morning. He said, you don't understand. He said, nothing's changed with my boy. But he said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. He said, last night, while I was praying and talking to God again, said, that's all you kept telling me to do. Said, while I was praying and talking to God again, said, God stepped into my world and said, He told me last night, preacher, that He's going to take care of this thing, that Jason's going to come back to Him. Said, He told me that last night, preacher. He told me that. He started jumping up and down in that hall, and I started jumping up and down and praising God. Circumstances had not changed one bit, not one bit. But God kept His heart sweet in the middle of it. I have a little news for you tonight. His boy did come back to God. Hey, Christian, as the sparks fly upward, you just keep trusting your God. He knows every one of your troubles. Scratch you out of place again at an old-fashioned altar and say, God, help me to trust you with this matter. Please stand tonight. I'm through preaching.